I actually benefit probably the most from having Star on the team, because I play will linebacker, playing that weak side, actually behind the nose a lot. So him just eating up double teams, making sure the center and the guard can't get up to me, so I can make a lot more plays in the backfield. And somebody decides they want to come up and single him, that's a tackle for loss for him every day and being very disruptive. So I'm extremely excited to be here, for him to be here. Talking to Thomas Davis, one of my close friends down there, I know they were sad to see him go because of that type of dynamic that he brought to the field. And then off the field, he's a great dude. You know, quiet, a solid worker. Guys naturally kind of look at him because he's a big, strong man, so his presence is around in the room. So he's definitely going to help a lot of those young guys out as well, just far as being professional.
On that note, Lorenzo, when he was signed, you know, there were a lot of fans that maybe looked at the stat sheet and said, well, he doesn't get numbers and things.
Right.
Can you speak to the value of guys even when they don't appear in the stat sheet?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I would consider as a star maker. You know, I think Luke Kuechly benefited a lot from his presence on that line, and hopefully I can mimic some of those things that Luca is able to do by benefiting from that guy in front of him. Like I said, allowing me to make more plays in the backfield, pushing the pocket so a guy like Jerry Hughes can now turn that corner and not have to worry about the quarterback stepping up. And so guys around him will benefit, but we all know once we go watch that film why we have those stats, and it's because of a guy like him. And also, you know, guys like Kyle Williams, guys that, you know, really play in the backfield really help us as far as edge rushers and linebackers. So I'm looking forward to playing with them.
You mentioned playing Will. Obviously, there's been a change, or there will be a change at Mike at some point.
Right.
It's early, but how do you envision your role changing? Is how the old linebacker scheme looks right now?
You know, right now, everybody's competing for a job. We have Tanner Vallejo, Julian Stafford, that are kind of penciled in right now as far as guys trying to see until we, you know, go through the draft process, and who knows how that's going to turn out. Competing for that job. At some point, just because of the versatility of my background of playing in this league, I may be asked to move over there as well to create some more depth there. And until our team really kind of just pans itself out throughout the course of an offseason and training camp, I don't think we really will know, just because, you know, losing a guy like Preston, it's hard to fill those shoes, especially we don't have really no true experience playing that Mike on our roster right now. So we're looking forward to it, getting in the book, studying a little bit more, and that's kind of been the nature of my career anyway. You know, filling holes and niches and being a bridge guy essentially has allowed me to play in this league for a long time.
What about Matt Milano and just what he did last season and compared to what he might do this
year? Yeah, I'm looking for Matt to have another stellar year and really build off of it. I think when Matt first got here, he was, you know, trying to fill it out. He's a guy that once he's comfortable, he plays with a lot more confidence. And he already knows he's capable of playing in this league. So he's just looking to build on top of what he started last year. From a technique standpoint, a playmaker standpoint, and just a football IQ. And that's always what you want to see from your guys that come in from their rookie year to their second year, making sure they have that growth and next step and not fall into that sophomore slump. But being around Matt, I don't see that happening, and look forward to him. And Trey Davis is another guy you want to see make that next step. And then the guys that we bring in is going to really set us apart like those guys did last year as far as helping us make the playoffs.
Do you watch the draft at all?
Well, I didn't watch it for a long time because I didn't get drafted. I sat around, you know, for all picks and never heard my name called. But I'll watch a little bit more now. Obviously, I'm kind of in the transition point of being player/media, so I like to have a little bit of knowledge of who got drafted, where they went. So when I'm on the Murph show or the One Bills live show with him and Tasker now, I have a little bit of knowledge of what happened. So I'll watch a little bit.
Lorenzo, how is the vibe and feel around the team different now that the weight of the playoff drought has been lifted?
You know, I don't think that really ever impacted us, because even from my first year here to last year, there was a whole new group of guys. And now when I look around the room now, it's a whole new group of guys. I think we only have 20 guys that were on the roster from last year to now. So I'm looking around, it's all new faces. So that's kind of the nature of the new NFL. So I don't think a lot of guys are tied to that 17-year drought or even to us breaking that drought last year, because it's a lot of new faces. So for us, our goal is this year is to kind of recreate that chemistry, that passion, those fundamentals, that foundation that we had that allowed us to succeed and now take it a step further. And obviously it's always hard when you have such turnover every single year. But I know Sean and Brandon are bringing in guys, trying to upgrade our roster and put guys in there that's going to be here for the long haul.
26
yes.
Yeah,
we have to be, and that was probably, I'm guessing, yards given up. Yeah. I would love to know where we finished in takeaways, which we kind of held our hat on. So, you know, some of the things as a defense, you know, yards is one thing, but if they get down there and they don't score, we're making them kick field goals or we're taking the ball away, I think most defenses around the league would be okay with finishing 26 in yards, even though that's not where you want to be. But we do want to take another step forward and be more dominant and not have that low, that three-game stint probably what really knocked us down, and try to eliminate games like that to where they don't build up. Maybe you have one in the season versus having three or four, and that's really our goal. And it should be easier this year because we don't have everybody learning a new scheme. We have a good core group of guys that can help bring the new guys in, get them indoctrinated to the culture that Sean is building here and the team is building, as well as the scheme.
So as you talk about going over to the media side, your career, as you look at the Bills from that perspective, what do you think is the team's biggest need in the draft?
You know, I think with everything, this is a quarterback-driven league, and whether that quarterback is on our roster or somebody that we decide we want to move up and get, that's something that you always, you know, as an organization that you want to be able to build around. But we have other needs as well. You know, obviously losing guys like Ewood, Cordy Glenn to a trade, and now Richie to retirement, you want to have a solid offensive line because you can have a all-pro quarterback back there, but if you can't keep him upright, it really doesn't matter. And I think of a guy like David Carr, number one overall, but, you know, had a lackluster career because he got hit a lot early in his years. Also linebacker, obviously we talk about losing a guy like Preston. So finding whether he's on our roster or somebody in the draft, I think those are the kind of the three spots that I kind of look towards as far as seeing what their plan is and how things kind of unveil themselves through that process.
Lorenzo, you mentioned the new faces and all those guys that left, but what's it like to have a guy like Kyle back and his leadership and things like that?
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's why I'm rocking the shirt today, just to show my love for him coming back. Obviously, we are similar ages. I'm a little bit older than him. But our families are really close. Our kids play together. Our wives hang out. So for me, it's just a safe place when I get away from here because I'm 30. I'll be 35 in May. A lot of these guys are 21, 22. I have a daughter that's age. So having somebody I can relate to and talk about the good old days and, you know, being old school and being cut from a different cloth and having guys like that in the room really help me being up here, my mentality, and be able to go through a whole season because I always have somebody I can connect with on that level.
Lorenzo, even with the guys that you – do you think last year with how Sean approached the offseason with all the new guys and the fact that you have some carryover guys here like yourself, like Kyle, maybe the safeties, do you think that helps set the foundation or set the standard of what is expected from this team?
It definitely does. I think anytime you have leadership that can go in and communicate the coach's message and impact it in different circles, because obviously the guys I hang around, whether in my locker mates or in the linebacker room, are going to be different from the guys that Micah hang out with. And our locker room has been intentionally set up so we have leadership throughout our locker room. But my job really moving forward, and I think Kyle would say the same thing, is really growing the leadership base. So really talking to guys like Shaq, Adolphus, guys that you may not think are leaders, but you see leadership qualities to get them to rise their game up in their mentality of being a professional, so they can start taking over some of the reins. Because sooner or later, me and Kyle are going to be done. And just the way this league is, you never know how long your leadership or your core guys are going to be here. So that's what we're trying to do, so that when we're long and gone, Sean still has guys that he can continue to pick up and roll his message out to the locker room.
Did you see Bryce Harper's 406-foot home run with a broken bat?
I did see that. That was pretty impressive. The dude is a monster. He's going to get paid pretty big time. What is it, next year? I think he's up. So I'm looking forward to that. Bryce is a good dude. Dale, 26 shirts, hooked me up, you know. So I'm just marketing it. So if anybody want to go out and buy one, I'm selling them. You know, what's the deal? 2 for $15. Okay, so just let me know.
You were pretty outspoken about the new targeting rule, thanks to USA Today.
Yeah.
You know, and just as a union, what can you do about that rule? What's the biggest problem?
I just think it wasn't well thought out. Because with a target, and it's really not even a targeting rule, it's helmet-to-helmet contact. So I could go in and try to make a solid, good tackle and have inadvertent helmet-to-helmet. It can happen every single play. So I just don't think it was well thought out. And for me, being in this league and seeing how the rules have progressed over the years for player safety, which is good, but it always seems like the onus is on defensive players. I haven't seen an offensive guy outside of a real egregious hit like a Juju Smith get called for maybe ducking his head or ducking his shoulder trying to protect himself, even though he's hitting me and are engaging the helmet to helmet. I would like to see, you know, maybe a panel or something, maybe go back that are taken outside of the game and say, okay, was this egregious? Was he trying to be malicious? And then maybe go about it that way. And then also I would like us to see us enforce the rules that we already have on the books, especially when it comes to player safety. When guys get a concussion, they shouldn't be returning to the game at all, whether they pass the concussion protocol or not. If we're really worried about our guys, let's make sure that we're doing that and hold the teams accountable and not continue to just put it on players.
And how do you think the new helmet rule will change the game in the meantime?
Well, hopefully they go back. I think they have a meeting in May and realize that it's not going to be a functional rule that's going to make sense, because it's going to be hard on the refs. They already have enough rules to call. Now, do they call it every single play, which they can do? But for me, I just have to go out there and play my game. I can't really think about it. And we'll see how it's mitigated or called throughout the preseason. But it's definitely going to be hard because our heads are at the top of our body. You play with forward lean. Even if I'm coming in with a shoulder, if he ducks his head a little bit, it's slight helmet to helmet. I mean, that's a flag. So, like I said, it can be called every play. I just don't think it was well thought out. The intention and of the rule is great, but we have to understand at some point this is a collision contact sport, and I think that's some of the lore to it. And everybody's not built to play this game. And you can't legislate out every injury, or we wouldn't be playing football. At that point, it changes to something different. And if the fans and the owners are okay with that, then we would have to live in that new world. Yes.
So is it fair to say then that he sacrifices some of his own stats for a team? And would you caution fans against maybe pulling up their fade and saying he only has X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I mean, I never try to judge players by stats because they can impact the game in so many different ways that don't show up in the stat sheet. And I wouldn't say that he sacrifices himself. I think he just plays to his skill set and his strengths and handles his role well. The coaches ask him to play a certain way, and that's what he goes out and does. That doesn't mean that he can't go out and have 7 or 8 sacks, but that's just not what his role has been in this scheme. I think his strength is, you know, taking on double teams, throwing people around, playing in the backfield, and allowing other guys around him to be successful as well.